Hey there, we're glad you're joining us today. This is Tom and Julie Meekins of Champions for Parents, a ministry that seeks to empower and encourage all parents, especially those of you raising a child with special needs or any kind of challenges. Our goal is to help you as a parent to be a champion for your child. Sometimes we get weary, don't we? Raising a child with challenges is exhausting, no question. In today's devotional, we hope to give you some encouragement from God's Word on how not to become weary in well-doing. We hope to help you understand a little better the unlimited resource you have in the One who cares deeply and is able. Stay tuned also for our tips on the dreaded challenge of transitions. Life would be so much easier if we didn't have to transition from one activity to another. We will talk about some things that many have put in place to make transitions easier for us and for our children. But first, let's hear from Tom about the golden nuggets he found in God's Word.
Yes, Julie, you spoke about not being weary. The verse that I immediately went to was Galatians 6, verse 9. And that says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." So that says it all. If we have the opportunity, the next verse says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." But concentrating on weariness, there's so many things during raising a family. Operating a household, the children, they have to go to school. You got to take care of their health, got to take them to doctors, the sports, your work. There's things that that come up where dads and moms are going to work. Sometimes the moms are able to stay home. But there's lots of work that has to be done there. I commuted to D.C. for almost 20 years, the D.C. area. And that's
commuting is
easy
hard.
To get to be weary doing that.
It's draining, at times. Yes.
Extended family. Some of your family members will help and some won't be so helpful. Friends, some are helpful and some are not. So all these things, it's a very complicated raising our kids. It is easy to become weary. And in church, sometimes it's supportive and sometimes the people in church are not supportive. So we have to gain our strength from a relationship with our Lord and Savior. Matthew chapter 28 says, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Jesus is saying, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Mm. So Jesus is saying, "Come to me, weary and burdened. Life is hard. I will give you rest." Jesus says, "I will give you rest. Take my yoke." If you picture oxen that are pulling a tractor or pulling some farm equipment, they're yoked together so that they can work together. Jesus says, "My yoke is easy. My burden is light." Learn from me. Read the Bible. Pray. Abide in Jesus. Communicate in prayer and listening to the Word of God. I am humble. I am gentle. You will find rest for your souls. And going back to Galatians 6:9, what stands out to me, it says, "At the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." And our children are a harvest, is one of the things that we like to look at, is when they grow up, the encouragement that they give us, because they're following the right way also.
I love thinking about God as being that resource that fills us back up. Because when we become weary, we're doing things in our own strength. And we are limited. We have physical bodies that are limited. We need rest. We don't often get the rest that we need when we're raising children, and especially those of us raising children with special needs, because their needs never end. You know, sometimes you can't even put your child to bed and know that they're going to sleep all night. You've got so many things going on with trying to figure out, you know, do I need more therapy? Do I need this person for therapy? Do I need to go to that doctor? And there's so many details to the raising of our children that can make us tired. But I love to keep coming back to who's the resource that's going to fill me so that I can do what I'm called to do and what I need to do. So I like to ask the question when I read God's word, who is God? And so we're talking about raising children here. So I want to know, I want to ask the question, who is God in the raising of our children and all that that entails? And what God's word tells me is that he is the one who calls us. Otherwise, we wouldn't be raising this child. He's the one who equips us. He's promised that in his word. He's the one who cares. And he's the one who invites us to lean on him. So how do we not become weary in well-doing? And raising our children is a well-doing thing. We're doing well to raise our children. That is something that we're supposed to be doing, that we want to do with all of our heart. A godly woman who was a mentor to me years ago, even before I had children of my own, gave me this wonderful understanding. She encouraged me to create a spiritual reservoir. She said, fill it during seasons where you can grab time in the Word. And moms and dads, that is an ebb and flow kind of thing, isn't it? Sometimes we have time and we can grab the Word and we can learn from it. And then when you can spend time reading or studying God's Word, fill up your reservoir. When you can sit and listen to God speak to your heart with the truths of his word, fill up your reservoir. That's how you fill it, by listening and studying to God's word. Then, when you have those seasons where you're just hanging on, you picture that cat hanging on to a wire or to a rope. You know, there are some days, there are some seasons in life where we're just hanging on. We can go back to that reservoir of what we've learned about our God and how he equips us from our reservoir. It does us well to remember always that God is the answer. He is sufficient. Our Savior is the resource, and he deeply cares.
Absolutely. Thank you for your thoughts. Excellent.
So today we're going to talk about
transitions.
Yes.
All these transitions. Every day is full of transitions. You get out of bed, you transition into life. You get the children up, you transition them into the day. And it's always, it's never smooth, it seems. Although we would love it to be smooth. There's always hiccups along the way. Your child has spent the night with a friend, let's say, and he had a delightful time. The family where he stayed is giving a glowing report of how nice it was to have him. But now you have arrived to take him home, and he's not having it. You've asked him several times to get on his coat and walk to the car with you. Instead, he is hiding in his friend's bedroom and will not come out. What can you do?
Another scenario. Johnny is building a massive Lego project. He's been at it for an hour. Now it's almost time for dinner. You've asked him to pick up his Legos, wash his hands, and come to the kitchen. You would have thought you asked him to walk 5 miles to bring the cows home and with the fit that he's pitching. Mm. And, you know, he then comes into a full-on meltdown. Jeez. Pete...
Okay, yes, let's look at Pete here.
Pete's another guy who's having a little
trouble. He zoomed in on Minecraft. You've been into the room at least 3 times now asking him to finish up so he can start getting ready for bed. Every time you interrupt, Pete starts in on a huge plea bargaining deal.
He's a little lawyer.
Yeah. He presents his case for all the reasons why he cannot possibly stop what he's doing at this minute. And have you ever wondered what a stopping place is? The first couple of times you wanted to give him some rope. After all, you know what it feels like to be engrossed in a project and have to stop on a dime. It is frustration. It is frustrating. In your compassion, you give Pete one or another chance. You give him more time. But you have to admit that now you're getting a little irritated.
Just a little bit.
This is going on way too long. Pete still has to walk the dog, brush his teeth, put on his PJs, and you know what mornings are like if Pete doesn't get to bed at a reasonable time.
I just realized, listening to those scenarios and reading those scenarios, that we were picking on the boys. But we have three daughters and one son, and we can tell you by personal experience that this is not just for boys. We have had many times that our girls have had to transition, and we've had these kinds of struggles with them as well. And we're sure that you've dealt with scenarios similar to this with your child. Most children, at some time or another, will have trouble moving from one activity to another. After all, don't we struggle with it sometimes as adults? Sometimes we have a hard time going to bed, don't we? We're all involved in watching a show on television or playing a game or just reading a book or whatever. And it's like we know we should go to bed so that our mornings will be better. And sometimes even as adults, we have a hard time moving into what we're supposed to be doing. However, some of our children have struggles with transitions more times than they don't. And we need some strategies to help them, don't we? And to help us. The things we're going to share with you today are beneficial for all children, and especially for those who struggle more than others. So here's our outline for today's tip. Think about what we need to do ahead of time. So preparation. So we need to prepare for transitions, number one. Number two, what are we going to do in the heat of it? Because we know the heat is coming. What to do during the resistance, during the meltdowns. And three, wrapping it all up. How do we conclude these times of stress that we all have with our kids? What we've learned through the raising of our four children is that communication is key for just about everything in life. So the question is, how practically can we help up the communication to alleviate some of the stress on both the child and on us? So let's talk preparation first. What things can we put into place ahead of time that may ease the challenge of transitions? Communicate expectations in a loving and kind and matter-of-fact way. And you can do that through visual charts. You can use pictures and words, or just words, wherever your child's developmental level is. Give them the information you want them to have. Give them a little pre-warning about life by using a visual chart. They saved us at our house many times. Here's another one. You can use digital recordings, and you can use them to map out the schedule, your routine, and the expected behavior that you want from your children. You might want to write a script and then read it into a recorder. It's just information that you're going to tell them anyway, but let's tell them ahead of time. And let's help that to be already in their brains before we enter into these scenarios. Role playing. Many children love to do role playing. They like to be the parents and you pretend to be the children, or they're a friend and you're, you know, a friend. And you know, role playing can teach so many things. So we can communicate to our children through role playing. And they love it. Most children do, when you use puppets or dolls or stuffed or plastic animals and other toys to convey your teaching. Figure out what it is you want to teach them based on the struggle that you're having. Obviously, there's some information that's missing, and you want to be able to input that information to your child. Know that as a parent, you are in...
Yep. 24/7. You're always on.
Teaching mode. Always on. Teaching mode. With our children who have challenges, sometimes we have to teach the same thing.
Over and over and over.
Over and over. It doesn't matter how many times you communicated it. What matters is...
They get it.
They get it.
They understand what's going on.
So we've all had teachers where they feel like they're the best teachers in the world and they're teaching you some material and it is flying way over your head. And they think they're giving you all the information you need and you're looking at them like you haven't a clue what is going on. That's our kids sometimes when we're talking at them and it's at them at that point. They don't know what we're saying. So we've got to get down to their level. We've got to figure out what it is that's going to help them to understand what we're saying. And it may be that in your situation, your child may get it, quote unquote, one day, but the next day you have to teach it again. So here again, based on our Bible lesson today, don't become weary in the well-doing of repeating. Because remember, it's about the input. We have to keep giving the information. Use whatever method of inputting you can, the charts, the recordings. You can use books from the library to give the information you want them to have. And you can use social stories. But here's the deal. Here's the thing you have to remember.
Expect to teach all the time.
All the time. Yes. Okay, so let's say you're in the heat of the meltdown, okay? You haven't had a chance to prep or you've only prepped a little bit and they just don't got it yet. That's good English, isn't it? They just don't have it yet. And so you want to, you're finding yourself right in the middle of this meltdown and you're trying to figure out, what am I going to do? Over time, you're going to reap a harvest of more peaceful transitions. If you put the time and effort into it with the tools that we've already talked about, the charts and recordings and role-playing and using toys to convey the message. However, you may still be in the thick of resistance and meltdowns and need some strategies to get through the moment and move them on. Sometimes the meltdowns have to do with the sensory stresses that come with transitions. We found an article called A Crash Course in Meltdown Management by Karen Wang. And in it, Karen recommends that parents carry a sensory toolkit, I love this, for situations that may be stressful. Depending on an individual's unique sensitivity, some items in the kit may include sunglasses, because they are overstimulated with visual stimuli, baseball cap or wide-brimmed hat, ice-cold water bottle with a sports cap for sucking, or an ice-cold juice box to calm them down and help the stress level, a chewy snack, hand lotion or lip balm, a piece of soft fabric such as velour for rubbing on the hands, or a stuffed animal, a squeeze ball or a koosh ball, soundproof headphones. We work in our church's iKids department, which is their name for the special needs department. And there are children who are not labeled as special needs that are not in our program, but who have auditory sensitivities. And we're always getting questions from the larger, typically developing teachers. Do you have any of those headphones? This particular child has got his hands over his ears, and we can tell that he's calmer when he has headphones. Do you guys have any extra headphones? So soundproof headphones are a good idea. Karen goes on to say a change of clothes. Sometimes they just can't stand the clothes that they're wearing. I know our son Josh spent years in sweats because he couldn't do the buttoning up of jeans and the button downs of sweaters and shirts. Carrier for a child under 40 pounds, like our daughter calls it baby wearing, right? Wear your children if they need that sensory input of being up against your body. And Karen Wang says her 4-year-old says it feels like a big hug every time he rides in their little carrier. Becco is what she was recommending. And she has lots of other ideas to help kids. I'm going to put the link in the show notes for you so that you can check it out. And then there's another resource of another link of a resource that might be really helpful for you. It's called friendshipcircle.org. Some of you might even know about that, but I found these two particular links to be helpful. So hopefully they will be to you too. Okay, so then we talked about, the prepping, and we talked about being in the middle of the meltdown, and there's so much more, obviously, that we could talk about for both of those things, but we just kind of wanted to give you an awareness blast. But now we have to think about, how are we going to end this, okay? So we definitely, again, with communication, we have to think about, once we're finished with the meltdown and everybody's calm again, how can we talk about what just happened? So we love the material through the National Center for Biblical Parenting. Scott Taransky, Dr. Scott Taransky, and Joanne Miller, who is a nurse, pediatric nurse, they've written a lot of good material on parenting, just helping parents know how to raise children. And we love their, what they call the positive conclusion. After you have to correct your child, and it's all about teaching, right? Because what is discipline? Discipline is teaching. We have been introduced to this idea of the positive conclusion.
Right. And the positive conclusion contains three questions and a statement. The positive conclusion, it's a routine that repeats the same process over and over again each time you have to discipline your children. With young children, you'll probably go through this routine several times a day, but that's okay and even good. Young children and all children benefit from repetition. And this routine develops habits in their minds about offenses, knowing how to respond when they've done the wrong thing.
So Tom and I are giving you some little tidbits from a seminar that we've been trained to teach called, what is it, Cooperation, Consequences,
and Keeping Your Sanity.
And Keeping Your Sanity, we love that. And this is the positive conclusion portion of that particular seminar. And what Tom just read to you was the part of the material. But like he said, like Tom said, you know, Scott and Joanne here are talking about young children. We're talking about all children because a lot of our children who have challenges definitely need that repetitive thing going on before they actually pick up things. So as Tom said, the positive conclusion contains three questions and a statement.
And the first question is, what did you do wrong? And this is in communication with our child. What did you do wrong? The purpose of this first question is to allow the child to take personal responsibility for the offense. And if others were involved, as they often are, a child would not excuse an offense by blaming someone else. The sins of others don't justify the wrong actions.
So the first question is, what did you do wrong?
What did you do wrong?
And you need to have a dialogue with your child to help them understand because they often don't know. They don't know what they did wrong. And remember, we're keeping it as positive as possible.
And that's an answer you may get. I don't know.
Right.
So
right.
Help them.
So we have to help them understand.
Know, what did you do wrong? The second question is, why was that wrong? And this question helps to address heart issues directly. It gives you the opportunity to talk about the values behind your rules.
And do your children know what your rules are? Have you communicated what is important in your household? That's really important.
Yes.
This is coming from Tom and I, but we've learned a lot of that stuff too through Scott and Joanne and what they share with parents. So we've had two questions so far. The first one is,
what did you do wrong?
And the second one is,
why was that wrong?
And now we are in question number three.
What are you going to do differently next time?
And this is about repentance, isn't it? This
yes.
is about the turning. This question helps children understand and communicate what right action should take place instead. And this is really hard for our kids. Our kids might not know what they've done wrong, and you can teach them. And Scott and Joanne say, with practice, they will know what to do. By communicating the right response to you verbally, your child will begin to see the difference and learn to change. But don't become weary in well-doing, because it
right.
may take a long time
and
to well-doing
get that across. Is correcting your children.
Okay, so we had our three questions. Now, what's our statement?
The statement is, go ahead and try again. And once you've gone through the three questions, then always end with an affirmation.
I love that.
The statement we suggest is, okay, go ahead and try again. And the statement says, I believe in you. You know, yes, you're going to make mistakes, and there are consequences, but we can debrief and learn together. We want to give children the confidence to try again. This statement acknowledges that growth is a process.
And we can explain to our children that we haven't turned out yet either, right? And we also need to work through that process ourselves.
So if you want more information, contact us. The website's biblicalparenting.org for the National Center for Biblical Parenting, and our website is championsforparents.com.
And we'll put that in the
show
notes as well.
Okay, very good. I think that's all for now. And let's just
thank you for joining
wrap it
us.
Up. And just remember, it's never too late. There's always hope for your child. We're Tom and Julie Meekins, and we bring you these podcasts through the ministry of Champions for Parents. We're USA ministry missionaries to parents, especially those who are raising a special needs child or a child with challenges. Our goal is to help you as a parent to be a champion for your child.
We teach online classes and love to speak in person to parent groups, wherever they may meet. We have spoken at parenting conferences, mothers of preschoolers, moms next groups, homeschooling groups, ladies brunch groups. We also like to talk to church groups about our ministry to see if they want to join our team and come on board to offer support, encouragement, and empowerment to all parents, and especially those who are raising a child with any kind of challenges within their communities and beyond, because we want our children to have a place where they can belong.
And if you know of any parenting groups that are looking for a speaker, send us an email at championsforparents@gmail.com, and let's get the conversation started. And if you want to receive our monthly ministry newsletter, please send us an email at championsforparents@gmail.com. We would love to connect with you.
We know you already have a heart for giving and are looking for ministries that resonate with you. If you too have a heart for kids who struggle and their families, and you're looking to partner financially with a team who deeply cares, who's been there, and who's on the cutting edge of providing opportunities for empowerment for these families, get in touch with us at championsforparents@gmail.com.
Thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to the next time. May you have joy in your parenting journey.
Goodbye for now. Goodbye.